interesting. I'm going to talk today about rumors. I can remember it was the summer of 1977. I was 16 years old and I was the coolest kid on the block. And I can remember walking down the street where I was working for the summer with my parents. And everywhere you went, you would hear Fleetwood Mac and their top-selling album called
Rumours.
Rumours. So I always think of rumours, but I want to talk to you about rumours today, and I want to redeem the word. I want to thank everyone watching on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and listening on podcast. It's good to have you with us. How about we give those guys a round of applause? Rumours means something different to us today. We think of rumours as slander, gossip. But when we read the Bible, the word rumours is similar to the word report, or news, or word of mouth. And I'm here today to redeem that and to see how when we hear something that some people will dismiss as a rumour, it can actually change our lives. And that's what I want to look at today. And I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit will fall on you. And you know what? I really want the Holy Spirit to fall on everyone in the back of the rows. Yeah. Hallelujah. Will you put up your hands? Let's pray. Let's pray and ask the Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would fall on you. Can you say amen down here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. David, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who else is going to say amen down here?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else willing to say amen?
Amen.
Ursula.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone else? John.
Amen.
Praise God. Who else is going to say amen?
Amen.
Gonna another John.
Amen.
And who have we got? Bern.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Marilyn.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else down the back? How about Uncle Jerry? Jerry, say
amen. Amen.
We pray God would open our minds, open our hearts, and that we would not just hear the thoughts of a man, because men come and go, but we pray your thoughts from the Bible, your word, would take root in our soul and change how we think for the better. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. So when rumors are true, this is what the Bible says in Luke 5:15. Rumors about Jesus Christ spread all over the Galilee, so that huge crowds gathered together to hear him and to be healed by him. It started with a rumor. It started with someone talking. It started for many just overhearing something. Everyone in here, you wouldn't be in here, whether you've been here for years or you've just come in the door, it wouldn't have begun unless you first had heard word on the street, word of mouth, a report, a rumor about what's going on here, and it's going on all over Ireland and all over the world. Hallelujah. So it begins with a rumor or with a word. And back then, 2,000 years ago in the Galilee, rumors spread about this man called Jesus. And remember, he came from Nazareth, and Nazareth is like the roughest town in the area. You think you come from a rough background, you ain't seen Nazareth back then. Galilee social services were camped there full time. Probation service were always visiting Nazareth. And despite where he came from, rumors spread. Something supernatural is happening. So it began, brothers and sisters, with a word, with a talk, with a rumor, with a report. But it didn't just end there. It ended with hearing Jesus and the words of eternal life, and it ended with healing.
Amen.
Now, many people heard the rumor and dismissed it. Here and there, all the same. What a fool. Come and be healed. Come and have a bit of faith to be healed. Sit at home and curse everyone. Remember, that's what Lot's wife said to him. Job's wife said to him. She said, curse God and die. A lot of people are cursing God and die. I don't trust anyone. Really? You're a tough out, but you're also a fool. Have a bit of trust. Have a bit of faith. Because sometimes rumours are true. And that's what we're going to celebrate today. You see, it's very hard because today we live in 24-hour news. We have social media, everything that happens within 60 seconds anywhere in the world, we begin to hear about it. And now, of course, technology has gone to such a place where photographs can be doctored. You should see Michael's photograph on social media. He only looks about 80 in it, that's all right. And I look about 90. You can doctor fake photos, deep fake videos. I heard a recording of a deep fake audio of Joe Biden, supposedly the president of the US. And honestly, hearing it, I couldn't tell the difference. It sounded so true. The problem is, because we live in a saturated world, and you, in your home, and on your phone, and in your device, you can get news all the time, we begin to get skeptical, and that's okay, because you've got to test, you've got to ask questions. But then we go further, and more people today are cynical. And there's a big difference between being skeptical, where you'll ask some questions, and being cynical, where you just don't believe anyone. It's a cul-de-sac. It's a dead end. I heard so many people over the years ago, saying, I won't vote for anyone. They're all, the politicians are gangsters. They're all the same. I'm done with it. That is such a lazy intellectual way of thinking, because it's just an opt-out for having to apply your little grey cells to try and work out who here is offering the best, what should I do, particularly as a Christian. But people just lump them all in together. It's like, every Catholic priest is a paedophile. No, they're not. There is such a lazy, cynical attitude in the world today that loads of good people are just castigated and thrown into the same dump as a couple of bad apples. And I'm not a Catholic. I was, but I'm not. But it really angers me when I see injustice and unfairness wherever it's coming from. And it comes from a cynicism. And you and I have a danger of falling into that, even as Christians. But the fact that you're here is probably suggestive that you're really not a cynic. But if there is a cynic in your life, family, maybe you're married to one, maybe it's a close friend or a workmate or a neighbour, here's where that cynic will take you and where he'll take himself. You end up with no trust because you won't trust anyone. You won't love anyone. There is no faith. There is no wonder. There are no miracles. There is no healing. There is no hope. It impacts any possibility of joy, of a future, of a life. To be cynical is a dead end. And I have a question for you. If there is a cynic in your life, here's my question to you. What have they got to offer you? What's their solution? I'll tell you what it is. Join them in their dead end. And close down on any possibility of wonder, of healing, of miracles, of faith, of trust, of love. Because I have never met in all my years someone who is a cynic who can actually love someone else. In reality, they're narcissists. They love themselves and they dismiss almost everyone else. So be careful who you listen to. And I'm here today to reclaim the wonder, the possibility, the supernatural, the good news that comes into our lives. I'm going to look, when rumours are true, in 1 Kings 10. And this is something that has been with me for a while. And it's dealing with someone called the Queen of Sheba, but actually you pronounce it Saba. And she journeyed from Saba to Jerusalem, which was a journey of 2,400 kilometres, 1,500 miles. Why? She was an intelligent lady, she was a spiritual person, and she was also sincere. But she was faced with challenges and decisions in her life, and she didn't know what to do. And you have been in situations in your life, and no matter how hard you try, you just don't know what to do. And I've been there. So she makes a journey. Now, I'm going to throw up a map, because when I was in holidays, you were all on to me. You were saying, Tom, would you ever come back and throw up an old map for us? Oh, I haven't had a map in a whole month, Tom. Could you ever give me a map? Well, voila! Woo! How's that for an old map now for everyone? If you're new here and you think this one is mad, this is an in-house joke, okay? So, I just love maps. I think maps give us the bigger picture. And you can see here, this is her journey. We think it was with a trade route. She went with a trade mission to Jerusalem. But she would have started, I shouldn't have the extra point. She started here, in Yemen. Today it's Yemen. And the kingdom of Sheba would have been Yemen and across into Ethiopia, Eritrea, Djibouti, that area. And she would have gone from there. Now the area where Saba is actually, is where the Houthi rebels, if you follow the news, are firing rockets at ships passing today. So we're going way back here. And she would have travelled all that journey because she had questions. I didn't know Michael was going to open the meeting with the question that we come in here. But it's so Holy Spirit, it's so confirmation. You have a question. We all have to go on a journey to get the answers. I remember one person became a Christian and they lived very near here. Praise God they're still with us. But it took them an awful long time to be able to journey mentally and emotionally to even step into a building like this. So sometimes the journey is physically long, but sometimes it's emotionally long or it's mentally long, and it's challenging. She would have gone up, you can see the red line there, through what is known as the empty quarter even today. Nothing lives there. It's a dead area in Saudi Arabia. But she was sincere and she had questions. And the scripture tells us, 1 Kings 10 verse 1. Now the queen of Sheba heard all about King Solomon of Israel. So she came to test him with hard questions. Solomon was the son of David. And when he was praying and God said, you're going to be the next king. And the Lord said to Solomon, you can have anything you wish for. And Solomon didn't ask for riches or fame or glory. He said, God, would you give me wisdom? And so God gave him an abundance of wisdom. And because his heart was right then, and he prayed that, God then gave him everything else as well. Make sure your heart is right. Pray for the good things. And all the other things, they just follow. That's my experience. You look after God's business, he'll look after your business. Seek first what?
The
kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added unto you. Hallelujah. I love the fact she made the journey and she came with hard questions. This wasn't just some politically correct, let's have an old chat there and we'll be grand. No, no, no. I was reading a report, you may have heard there's probably going to be a general election here in Ireland next month, if it is going to happen. But I read how one of the political parties had their recent conference, or ordesh we call it, in Ireland. And the leadership told the delegates, you can only ask nice questions publicly of the leaders. Sounds cultic to me. Our dear leader. She was coming with hard questions. If you ever go to a situation, if you ever go to a church, let me talk about what I really know about. And the leadership there won't allow questions. You can't come and ask them a question. They're hiding something. You ask us anything. Amen.
Amen.
You ask us anything. We have nothing to hide by the grace of God. except the money in the Cayman yes. Islands. The one we wanted.
And the goat.
That's right, the goat that we sacrificed, yeah. Ask hard questions. Don't be afraid. She was going with hard questions, and Solomon was an open book. And we're told in verse 2, when she met him, she poured out to him all the questions that were on her mind. This woman had many questions. They were challenging questions, but Solomon had an anointing, had a gifting, had the Spirit of God on him, where he could see through the challenging questions and he could give her answers. So she pours out herself intellectually with her mind. And that's how this began. So she knew that if she needed her questions answering, it was the one who worshipped Yahweh, the one who adored the God who was above all so-called gods. Because there is only one God, who say amen.
Amen.
So she knew, surely, the one who worships the Lord, he has the answers. I love what a woman called Elizabeth Elliot said. Her husband, in his, I think he was only about 26, was a missionary in South America. And in the 1950s, he was killed because he was coming to bring the gospel to some village in, I can't remember the country, but it was in South America. And his young wife was traumatized. Not only had she lost her husband, the question was eating her up. You can identify with it, I can. My husband was doing the right thing. He was serving God. Why have I lost the love of my life when he was doing what he was called to do? And she said, years later, looking back at that time, faith does not eliminate questions, but faith knows where to take those questions. We take our questions to the Lord. Would anyone say amen?
Amen.
And that's not just by prayer. God uses men and women to give us advice and good counsel. And so we take our questions to those who are mature in the Lord, those who don't have an agenda to try and control our lives, those who want what's good for us. So we take our questions there. And if we're sincere and if we're diligent, we will find the answers to most of them. And if we don't, to some, it's because the Lord wants to reveal that himself when we see him face to face, just as we sang earlier. So the Queen of Sheba pours out her heart, her questions, and Solomon gives her answers that blew her away, because she said, or it says, when she had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, all that he had built, the buildings, all the variety of food on his table, the clothing of all the people, she was breathless and she was amazed. What began in an intellectual way comes and moves to an emotional way. So she is amazed. Now, it's not that she said, I want that food, I want her dress, I want that building. It's not about the physical things. This was the fruit, the evidence of wise decisions. The decisions you and I make in our lives impact our future. You know that. What we reap, what we sow, we reap. So let's say smoking. We smoke all our lives, or we smoke for years. Beside the cancer thing, you're going to look way older. Your skin will age way faster than someone who doesn't smoke. Our appearance will tell a story straight away. So she could see the evidence of wise decisions. And this is a time before science. And if you're wondering, remember, these were the people thousands of years before anyone knew what a germ or bacteria was. God said, wash your hands before you eat food. I can imagine the cynics back then going, these people are crazy washing their hands before they eat the food. Give me a bit of pizza there. Arr. They wash their hands and they live longer lives. Hallelujah. So she was amazed. And look at her declaration. Here's what she said. The rumors I heard in my own land, in our own situation, about your words and your wisdom were all true. The rumors were true. And I did not believe those reports until I came here, hallelujah. I had to come and see it myself. And I saw it with my own eyes. I saw it myself. And I wasn't even told the half of all that is here. When I was a Christian 4 weeks, I'll never forget it. I remember it was my month's anniversary of being born again. And I had read through the Gospel of John, and I came to the end. And John the Beloved, remember he was only 17 when he was hanging around with Jesus. And he said, there aren't enough books in the world to record everything that Jesus did. I've always thought about that. How much we don't even know. I'm okay with mystery. How about you? Because sometimes God does leave a bit of mystery there, but he leads us through the mystery. And he blesses us in it. And she said, until I came here and I saw it all with my own eyes, and I wasn't even told the half of it. So now she is making a declaration, if you will, of faith. Now for the theology heads out there, in this instance, most Bible scholars see King Solomon as a type of the Lord. Now, yes, he was a broken human being, but in this situation, he's seen as a symbol of us coming to God. So this is like someone coming to God with all the hard questions, and then we begin to see the fruits in our lives. I've spent many years reading reports, PhDs, doctorates on changed society. And societies change. When the gospel, the good news, when people get born again in a society, and in villages and in communities all over the world, you see that community begin to evolve and change. By the next generation, the debt from gambling is gone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The levels of addiction collapse.
Amen.
People who had no hope now have hope. They go to many villages. I remember this in Indonesia and Borneo. And they said, you'd always know a village where Christianity had taken hold and a village that didn't. Because the village where Christianity took hold was clean. The people were clean. The place was clean. You go to a village that was still stuck in ancestor worship, the people were dirty. And there were bones of animals lying around. You could even see it physically. By the fruit, you will know. So she came with questions, and if you will, I'm speaking theologically, the Lord answered her questions. You come with questions, I come with questions, and God answers our questions. And then we're told in verse 13, so the king gave her all her heart's desires, all that she had asked for, and then she returned to her home. Within the next few hours, we are all going to return to our homes. But when the Queen of Sheba returned to her home, she had gotten the answers. Remember now, it wasn't, how can I get rich quick? These were not her questions. Is there such a thing as a facelift? She wasn't into that. If they're your questions, just give them over, okay?
Amen.
What were her questions? Her questions were, how do I lead my people in this way? See, she was a leader. Who says women can't lead? Hello? Who say amen?
Amen.
I only heard the women. Any of the men say amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I don't know, just this once. God had put her in a position of leadership, and she had to make decisions that impacted a whole nation. A whole nation. But when she met the king, and intellectually, her questions were answered. And then emotionally, she could connect with that. You see, some of us begin emotionally, and it ends up that intellectually we're then convinced. Or maybe it's the other way around. But we all end up, and we all move on from the same position. We end up on the blood-stained ground by Golgotha, the place of the skull. We all stand together there. Whether we began with intellectual thoughts, whether we began with an emotional need, sooner or later, the emotions or the mental thoughts catch up, and we stand on the same ground. And so she could move forward, and she could return to her everyday, with wisdom about what to do in her life. You have questions about your family, your relationships, your friendships, your work, your health, your finances, your spirituality, your home. I could go on and on. Right now, the Holy Spirit wants to touch you and touch me and give us a bit of wisdom. But he needs to know that we want it. What does James say? Does anyone want wisdom? What does he say?
Let them ask God.
You don't believe me? Read it. Let me get to the scripture. It comes from James chapter 1, 5 to 8. Does anyone lack wisdom? Do you want an answer? Do you want advice about your marriage, about your job, about your health, about your kids, about your parents? I don't know. Do you want an answer? Ask God. How about we obey the word of God today?
Amen.
If you want to ask God, we're going to just stop the meeting here for a few minutes, for a minute or two, and we're going to ask God. If you've got questions and you want to hear God's advice on it, we just stand. If you're too proud, maybe you don't, and that's fine. Don't be too proud to stand up. Can you close your eyes? What's your question? Is it about a son or a daughter? Is it your health? Is it finances? Is it spirituality? Maybe it's work. Maybe it's where you're living. Maybe it's within yourself, your mental health. Would you lift one hand up to God and put the question over to him? Father, as we stand here today reading the Logos, the written word, from 1 Kings 10:13, the king gave her all her heart's desires, all that she asked for, and then she returned to her home. Before we return to our homes, may the Holy Spirit fall upon us.
Amen.
May the questions that are jumping around in our hearts and in our heads begin to be answered.
Amen.
Give us a revelation. Amen. Give us a supernatural discernment.
Amen.
And guide us into our future for us and for the people we love.
Amen.
As we return home, let the process begin.
Amen.
And let it continue. Maybe we're watching something on TV later, and strangely, a character says words that speak
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
We fall asleep, and as we're going to sleep, we're reading something and the words hop off the page. We're in a deep sleep and we dream, and we wake up at 4 a.m. in the morning with a vivid dream that we know is God talking to us. And doors open and doors close in your life, and you know this is God talking to you. Oh God, give us our heart's desires and hear what we ask for now. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's take our seats. I want to look at one more example, and it's a strange one. Sometimes, brothers, sometimes, sisters, God blesses us and we don't even know we need it. God gives us something, and it's only when we are blessed by it that we realize, I never knew God had something for me like this. How did I ever live without it? And there are some of us here today, I'm just using one example. God wants to bless you with something that you never even heard of or you have never experienced. One of the fathers of the early Christian church, moving into the New Testament, to one scripture, and that is a guy called Paul. And he was traveling in Turkey. And he came to a city of Ephesus. Michael read out from the letter to the Ephesians that was later written. And here's what he found. When Paul arrived in Ephesus, he found some believers there. And when he met with them, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit? We never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit, they replied. Just press pause on that. He comes to Ephesus and he discovers he heard that there were believers in the city. There were people who loved Jesus. And so he goes and he meets with them. Why did he ask them that question? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? I mean, I'm not going to go up and ask you, hey, come here, you. Have you not, did you not receive the Holy Spirit? I'm getting a vibe from you, like, did you not receive it? I mean, we're not going to do that. Who's he think he is? Do you know what I think happened? No, this is just my opinion. This is what I think happened. He went to the meeting, and the meeting was flat. They were very flat. Do you know what I mean? That's what they say in Dublin. They don't pronounce their T's in Dublin. Flat. Okay, in Cork we say very flat. Not like our accents that are up and down all the time like that. It was flat. There was nothing going on in the meeting. It was just... Blah, 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 blah. And yes, they loved the Lord. Did you ever go to a meeting like that?
No.
Not in this church you didn't. These are good guys. But Paul asked them, did you not receive the Holy Spirit? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is conservatism. There is embarrassment. There is social anxiety. Do you hear that on Facebook and Instagram? I'm looking at you. Really? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, I want you to tell me, there is? Oh God, we're very quiet here. Who'll say it out loud? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Okay, you're loud. Anyone else say it? Who say liberty out loud? Give us a good. Who's saying it?
Liberty.
Man, up you come with your Galway accent. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
I know, but a bit more. Cool.
Liberty.
Yay! You're from St. Teresa's Gardens, aren't you? The liberties, yeah? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not chaos, not nutty, not dangerous, but there is liberty. Because we forget about ourselves. I hope I look good now to him and her over there. No, how do I look to God? That's your question, that's my question. Is God pleased with my worship? Or am I going, I don't want now them to see that little hole inside of my shirt. God, deliver us from that, we'll say amen.
Amen.
He goes into the meeting and it's flat and it's dead. And he goes, did you not receive the Holy Spirit? We haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. So here is a blessing about to come. And they didn't even know such a thing existed. What does Paul do? He lays hands on them. He puts his hands on each of their heads. And what happened? The Holy Spirit came upon them. How did they know? What was the evidence? Because they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. And there were about 12 men there and all. And it's like, there's only 12 of them there and they're all prophesying. What? But the Holy Spirit came. They begin speaking in tongues and prophesying. The thing is, the Bible tells us, you can look at it elsewhere, whoever prays in tongues builds himself up. And whoever prophesies builds the church up. So these are two blessings. But you first must build yourself up before you can build other people up. Yeah?
Yes.
If you're on a plane and they run out of oxygen, they will tell you, put on your own oxygen mask first. Then help the kids or whatever next year. It's all about you and me anyway. It's all about the kids. Look, you gotta have oxygen yourself before you can give it to others. Spiritually, that principle is similar. Build yourself up in your most holy faith, the scripture says. You pray, we pray in the prayer language God gives us. I remember I knew before I became a Christian, I was missing something. There was a vacuum, a loss in my life. And when I came to know God, I knew he had touched me. But I didn't even hear about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And I remember after being at the first two meetings, one of the guys there said, we need to pray soon that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and he'll give you the prayer language, tongues. And I went, what was that? And he said, it's the Holy Spirit. And I said, you mean like when I was 12 and made my confirmation? He said, no, that's not it at all. It's something different. And when, about 4 days later, as I was praying in my bedroom, and I prayed, I didn't know anything. I just prayed, God, would you send this Holy Spirit on me? And liquid love poured over me, and I wept, and I began speaking out in my bedroom on my own in a language that I did not understand. And I knew I had just been filled with the Holy Spirit. What did Paul say? Paul said, I want you all to speak in tongues, and especially that you prophesy. That's what it says. Oh, I don't like that. Well, take it up with God. That's what the Bible says. He wants us all. But I think we overcomplicate it. We think about it like a professor instead of like a little child. God says, here's a free gift. I accept it, Lord, and I move into it. It's not complicated, but we complicate it ourselves. He laid hands and they began to be blessed and they spoke in tongues and they prophesied. And the church at Ephesus turned out to be a brilliant church. Moral of the story is, sometimes we don't even know we're missing something, but God has it for us. May God send a Paul into your life and into my life, that we will receive a blessing we hadn't even known we were missing. I love what Oswald Chambers said. He was a missionary to Egypt. Faith never knows where it's being led, but it knows and loves the one who is leading. Amen. If God is leading you and me to another blessing. And I love what John Wesley called speaking in tongues, praying in tongues. He called it a second blessing. The first blessing is when we come and we're born again. The second blessing is this anointing. And in a couple of weeks' time, 1st of November, when many people are praying to the dead, we're praying to the one who rose from the dead. And on the first Friday of November, we will be anointing with oil. Personal prayer for so many people, whoever comes in the church. But I will also be praying for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that more people will speak in tongues. Would anyone say amen? Why? Because it's good for you. Because you get stronger in your faith. Praise God. Let me come towards a conclusion. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who trusts. See, we're back where we began. A cynic can't trust. A cynic doesn't trust anyone. Everyone is wrong, except him or her. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. But first, you got to taste and you got to see. The Queen of Sheba went and tasted and seen. She looked Solomon in the eye. She saw with her own eyes the evidence of the blessing and the wisdom that had been there. Oh, taste and see. Unless I had come here. That's why it's so important that God's people assemble together and that the Holy Spirit can touch our hearts and we can worship him and we can hear his word and we can pray for one another and we can do community together, because it is a command in Scripture.
Amen.
Why? That it might go well for you.
Amen.
It's not, I want everyone in my church. No, that it will go well for you and for me, that we gather together. And this is what we're seeing here. Taste and see. When my children were young and they were sitting in their little high chairs, and it was recently with my grandkids, and there would be such a mess. You can see the child here has chips or fries, Americans call them, and ketchup. But oh, the taste is wonderful. But what a mess. You know what? Where the stable is clean, the book of Proverbs says, there's no oxen. There are no animals. But where the animals are there, there'll be a mess. You know what comes out of the mess? What comes out of the mess is milk and meat and food and sustenance and nourishment and life. Deal with the mess. Mess is okay. And I speak as someone with OCD. If you want to see my OCD, come in and check this place before we meet. I'm going around trying to fix the chairs. Mess is good. What do I mean by mess? Someone in the family will not be happy with you because you've decided to become a Christian. Someone at work will have a few words with you because you've decided to become a Christian. You begin to pray in tongues and you get a zeal and a courage that is not natural, and someone just doesn't like the look of you. There will always be people who oppose you, but mess is okay. If God is in the mess.
Amen.
Did you know there's a whole movement in the UK called Messy Church, where people are rediscovering that this formal, highly conservative, everyone watching what everyone is doing, that kind of church, and they're trying to be delivered out of that because it doesn't bring life, it brings death, if anything. And they're going into a church where people are prophesying, and people are healing, and they're laying hands on one another, and they're praying in tongues. And you know what? It can be a bit messy, but it's full of life. Will anyone say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You can go to hundreds of churches in this city where everyone is just stiff like that. Away with you. But why are those churches dying? Because is there life there? I don't think so. I think it's like Paul going to Ephesus. Hello? Have you not received the Holy Spirit? We have nothing to do with that here. Okay, off you go now. That's grand. Knock yourself out. In this house, we welcome the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We want Him to move.
Amen.
We want Him to bless you.
Amen.
Not freaky, not nutty, not dangerous, because some people go off the wall, but that you will be healed.
Amen.
And I'll be healed. That God will bless us. That God will give us courage and hope for the future. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here's a declaration about your future as the band come up. Eye has not seen, 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, nor has ear heard, nor has it even entered into the heart of man, all the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Some of that is the next life, but read into it, a lot of it is this life. A lot of it is your future. It hasn't even entered my mind or your mind, what God has prepared for those of us who love Him. So God has prepared something for you. The challenge and the invitation and the adventure is, are we willing to rise and be like the Queen of Sheba and travel the journey and go, okay, this is a bit inconvenient coming into this church. I live in Mallow. I have to drive down. I live in Bandon. I live in Kinsale, whatever. Yeah, it is worth it because we're coming to obey God. And we're coming to learn more about God and to put ourselves in the way of God healing us and healing our marriages and healing our children and giving us hope. Hallelujah. Have hope today because Jesus is moving here. Will you stand? We're going to sing that wonderful hillsong called King of Kings. And I'm going to pray then for those who want to give their lives to Jesus. For those who've got questions, and for those to be filled by the Spirit. Michael.
In the darkness, we were waiting, without hope and without light. Till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your life. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the word.
your direction, your future, if your heart is humble and you're sincere. Can everybody close their eyes on stage, off stage? All I can see are shadows. But if you want to start your journey with God, or you want to come back to the Lord because you've drifted away, and you want to say here today, Jesus, I'm going to follow you because I know there's no answers out there. You have the answers, Lord. If you're willing to invite the Lord into your life or ask him to come in again, in total privacy, will you lift your hand up and have a bit of courage? I'm not going to ask you, I just need to see a hand in the air. Okay. Yeah, I see your hand still in the back. Praise God. Hallelujah. I see your hand over there. Okay, I think we have 5, 6 hands. Praise God. We're going to pray together. Will you repeat it after me? Let's all do it in solidarity. But those 5 or 6, you need to pray this. Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sins. Make me new. I surrender. Be my leader. My savior. My friend. I decide to follow Jesus. No turning back. Come in now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give these guys a round of applause. God bless you. Come and talk to one of us afterwards if you'd like some literature, a book, a Bible. We'd love to help you. I know when we were driving up this morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And I know God said he wanted me to start a rumor from heaven for some here. And it was a weird picture in my mind I had. It was a girl and the veil was taken off her face. It was clearly a marriage. And God is saying to some people here, you stop praying for your future partner. And God is saying, he or she is ready, but you're not praying. And so I'm going to pray where people stand with their future wedding partner, because the rumor is coming from heaven, not from man. Can I ask you to close your eyes again, guys, on stage and off stage, and in total privacy, just for say 20 seconds, would you lift up your hand if that's your prayer? I'm not going to, okay, see yours. Okay, I think we've got about 8 people. I'm just going to pray now. Hallelujah. Do you believe God hears prayer?
Yes.
Do you believe he answers prayer?
Yes.
I pray now into these 8 lives. As I sincerely believe the Holy Spirit has given me this vision, I pray in each of these lives that the day would come when the veil would be taken off the face, where a man and a woman will come together and be as one in God's eyes. And I pray now that you would put faith and courage and wisdom into the hearts of these men and women, and they would find their future partner led by the Holy Spirit. Let the prayer begin, and may God answer your prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, and God's people said,
amen.
How do I share this? There's probably a lot of us here who genuinely would love to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to get the gift of tongues, prayer language. But I know there's one or two here, and your faith is really strong for this. It's like your heart is beating fast. It's like you know, it's as if Jesus is standing next to you. I'm going up on a limb here. But I know God is saying, you will speak in tongues here and now, right now. God is about to give you the gift. But while many are praying, you know there is an anointing upon you to do that here and now. Can we close our eyes one last time? If that's you, can you lift your right hand up high? You know that God is speaking to you. I see your hand. Praise God. I see another hand. Do you see another hand? I see another hand. Okay, I think 5-6 people. You know that God's Holy Spirit is moving upon you. If you're willing, I'm going to ask you to come up to the top, because I'm going to do what they did in the Bible. I'm going to lay hands on you. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but I'm going to encourage you. Just come up to the top and let me lay hands on you. And as we lay hands, that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Praise God. That's it. Be brave. Let's sing.
Spirit lit the flame, and the gospel truth of old, it shall not kneel, it shall not faint. By his blood and in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me, and the church of Christ was born, and the Spirit lit the flame.
Just to lay hands on these guys, and I'm going to go around. I'm going to ask you to come together. Just come over here together, guys. Praise God. Okay, so how many have we got? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Hallelujah. There were 12 in Ephesus. There are 10 here. Maybe there are 2 more. If you're down there, God will move on you, but don't be afraid to come up here. Here's what I want to say to all of you guys. You've got to stop overanalyzing and just come to God like a little child. Can you let go?
Yes.
Let go the complication. Just think of yourself like, I have a little 4-year-old granddaughter, a 2-year-old, and when I tell them stories and accounts, their eyes are wide open. God wants you to be like that. And what he's going to do is he's going to come upon you. You may experience an anointing. You've already had something happening down there. But sounds will come into your heart. And it sounds like gibberish. Remember, we come back to a little child. When I spoke in tongues first, I had like 1 or 2 sounds. But within the next day, I had more. By the end of the week, I had a whole string of sounds. And it kept growing. So as we pray, stop overanalyzing and just step out in faith and make those sounds before God. I want you all to speak in tongues, Paul said.
Yes.
Just take God at his word.
Yes.
One last thing. Jesus said, if one of my children asks for a blessing, will I not give it to him? He said, if a child asks the father for bread, will the father give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will he give him a scorpion? And God is saying to you, is he going to play a cruel game with you? Absolutely not. God is going to bless you. So I'm going to go around and lay hands just briefly on each of you. There's some of the mature believers with their hands laid on you as well. And just begin to speak out the words that God gives you. Speak them out by faith. Put the devil to shame. And don't let the evil one confuse you and say it's not happening. Oh yes, it is. Praise God. Can I ask you guys to just point your arm forward and just pray. If one of these guys is your friend or your family, you're welcome to come up and join them in prayer. Praise God. Can I ask that those who pray in tongues would start praying in tongues now. Gurabadaba. Shirulala Mukura Dadababada. Holy Spirit, come in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, release this tongue. Let the words of heaven come and anoint you and release you in Jesus' name. We release those languages of heaven, tongues of angels and tongues of men. John, it's coming upon you. The Holy Spirit is upon you. Pray it unto the Lord. Pray it unto the Lord. Hallelujah, we're praying in tongues. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, may he loosen your tongue and from the belly of your soul sing praises and say praises to God. Come, Holy Spirit, release the words. Stop the analysis and let the childlike faith take over. In the name of Jesus. Let the brain stop and let the spirit take over. Speak out the sounds that God would give you in Jesus' name. Speak them out with confidence. Don't even think about it. Just be like a little child. Do it now in Jesus' name. Speak in the name of Jesus and let the words come out. A language you don't even understand. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. And let the flame go. Hallelujah. Let's sing and let's praise God in another language. Praise God. Lift up your hands, guys, and just sing to the Lord. Sometimes we sing in tongues. Let's sing it together in English or in tongues. Hallelujah.
So praise the
today, but all of you have had the courage and the humility to come up in front of hundreds of people. Can I ask everyone down there, let's show our respect and encourage our brothers and sisters. Will you give them a round of applause for all who have come up? Hallelujah. I know God is saying one more thing, and I don't know if it's someone up here, someone down there, but in the past, you put your hand into something you shouldn't have. Something supernatural, but it was not of God. The Bible calls it the occult, which means hidden. It's a power that doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, it comes from another spirit. And God is saying to you, for you to get the gift of tongues, you first of all need to confess and repent that that was wrong. And it could be something like a fortune teller, a Ouija board. It could be spinning the bottle. It could be the pendulum. There's all different ways. And it's a power that's not from God and it's forbidden. It's like a landing strip in our lives for the enemy to block the blessing. So before we close with the final song, just where we are, I'm going to ask everyone to close their eyes. I know you're giving out to me, but you have to bear with me. If in the past that was you, when you didn't know and you did something with the occult, we're going to break that hold now in the name of Jesus. But you have to be willing to confess it before God. And just with every eye closed, would you lift up your hand if that was you, and then I'm going to pray, okay? Okay. 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 So I think we've got 5-6 people. Okay, guys, I'm going to ask everyone to just raise their hands so we do it in solidarity with these guys. God is watching. We'll say amen. God is listening. Heavenly Father, you have seen these 5 guys lift up their hands to this. We confess and we admit that going to the occult for answers is wrong. And today, we confess that that was a sin. Can we say amen?
Amen.
And we will never do it again. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
With that confession of faith, by the power of the risen Jesus, I break that hold in your life. I curse the curse and I declare light to shine into that darkness. In Jesus' name, and I pray a release of a power from the Holy Spirit to come upon you, that you will declare God's praises in the tongues of men and of angels, and that you will prophesy in the church. May God release you now, and may the flow begin and continue this evening, and may you wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning, praising God in a language you've never spoken before. I release that now, and I declare it, and I speak it over you in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people one more time said,
amen.
Give them a round of applause as the guys come back to the rescue.